Good morning. It's Thursday, September 3rd. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. The Trump administration has eliminated thousands of federal jobs for experts who help farmers with conservation efforts.
You have this demand, you have this proven benefit for farmers, and yet they're taking money away from it.
We'll hear how cuts at the National Resources Conservation Service are impacting farmers and the environment. That's coming up after the news. A Sedgwick County moratorium on data centers is extending again, but discussion among county leaders shows that after nearly a year, the ban may be reaching its end. Commissioners expect a draft version of data center regulations from the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission to be published in 3 weeks. Here's Commissioner Pete Meitzner on what comes next.
It's going to be a good 90 days of some open dialogue when planning are ready to share the initial findings.
The commission voted unanimously Wednesday to extend the moratorium to December 24th to give the public time to review the proposed rules. The latest extension comes with another change. The county's ban no longer applies to projects where a data center is the secondary purpose of a development. Wichita Animal Shelter officials say they want out of their $170,000 contract with an emergency vet 2 months before the deal is set to expire. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Hospital of Wichita runs the city's Good Samaritan program. It allows residents to bring sick, injured, or lost animals to the hospital at all hours. Wichita Animal Shelter Manager Emily Hurst says that in the past 2 years, the hospital has had billing and staffing issues. She says that 60% of the animals in the program were euthanized because the hospital's surgery fees exceed the contract's budget. These issues came to a head last month when the hospital announced it would no longer be open from 7 to 4 during weekdays. Hurst is now considering asking the city to end the contract and hire additional animal service officers instead. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Two local sixth graders spent the summer learning about food insecurity in Wichita. Now they're putting on a free dinner for the community to help. KMUW's Roger Nomer reports.
Melody Ellis and Kaylee Weisinger say they were surprised to learn about 100,000 people in Wichita go hungry. They decided to hold food for friends on Labor Day in Central Riverside Park. The dinner will have a restaurant atmosphere with waiters and a fancy spaghetti menu. This is part of a national youth movement to remember 9/11 through food relief. Weisinger says the girls want people to feel comfortable asking for help.
Just to know it's okay that you don't have the money to give yourself, you and your children, the food and shelter they need.
Visitors will also get to create a community quilt and receive a resource guide written by the girls. For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
Three journalists fired from the military newspaper Stars and Stripes are now suing the Pentagon over their dismissal. One of them is a University of Kansas graduate. Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports.
The lawsuit alleges retaliation and violations of First Amendment rights to free speech and freedom of the press. Laura Cordy was a Stars and Stripes reporter who earned a journalism degree from KU and interned with the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle. Cordy and her two colleagues were fired after comments made about the newspaper's editorial independence on CBS and an article about the USS Abraham Lincoln's conditions. Cordy says the disciplinary process usually is slow and begins with a suspension, but this time was different.
There was none of that. It was very sudden and escalated extremely quickly.
The lawsuit seeks to stop the terminations. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
The U.S. Department of Justice is suing Kansas City, Kansas public schools for allegedly allowing students to transition genders without their parents knowing. Grace Hills of the Kansas News Service reports.
The lawsuit alleges that the school district allows students to exclude parents from gender plan meetings when students work with staff to develop a plan around their transition. The DOJ says withholding this information is a violation of federal laws. The district's federal funding, which was more than 16% of its budget last year, is conditional on adhering to those laws. In a short statement, the district said it is in full compliance and is disappointed the DOJ decided to file a lawsuit. The district is one of four in Kansas targeted by the Trump administration for transgender student policies. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Grace Hills.
The August primary election in Kansas had the second highest turnout for any primary in state history. Kansas Secretary of State Scott Schwab's office says more than 650,000 people cast votes in August. The election included races for governor and U.S. Senate, as well as a measure to change how Kansas Supreme Court justices are picked. The total is second only to the 2022 primary, when more than 900,000 people voted. That primary included a measure to remove abortion protections. The State Board of Canvassers certified the primary's results Tuesday. A burn ban is now in effect for parts of Sedgwick County because of extremely dry and windy conditions. Sedgwick County Fire District 1 announced the ban Wednesday. It affects the cities of Valley Center, Colwich, Mount Hope, Cheney, Clearwater, and Mulvane. It does not include areas within the city limits of Wichita or Derby. No outdoor burning is allowed, including outdoor fire pits or chimeneas. The ban does not include fires used for food preparation, such as barbecue grills or smokers. Fire officials say the ban is needed to prevent grass fires. Active burn permits will be suspended and no new burn permits will be issued. Kansas will receive $20.5 million in federal funding to recover from two severe storms in June. Governor Laura Kelly applied for an official disaster declaration from the Federal Emergency Management Agency last month. Kelly's request covered more than 43 counties and two tribes that reported damage from a wave of storms. The severe storms brought straight-line winds, tornadoes, and flooding to large parts of Kansas, damaging utilities, roads, and bridges. Local governments can now apply to use the funding to pay for infrastructure repairs or replacements from the storms. New higher tolls are now in effect on the Kansas Turnpike. The Turnpike is increasing tolls to pay for a $500 million improvement plan. The multi-year plan is designed to preserve and modernize the Turnpike system, which runs from Kansas City to the Oklahoma state line. Each year for 3 years, tolls will increase 3% for passenger vehicles and 4% for commercial vehicles. Drivers can estimate their toll costs with the Kansas Turnpike Authority's online calculator at ksturnpike.com/map. And now KMUW's Lou Ann Stevens brings us a look at upcoming events around the Wichita area.
The Veterans Art Show runs now through mid-October at the Derby Public Library. You can see artworks in metal, fiber arts, paint, and more, all submitted by veterans. The Old Town Farm and Art Market is 8 to 1 on Saturday at the Old Town Farm and Art Market Plaza. It will continue every Saturday through October. The ICT Bee Fest is 10 to 1 on Saturday at the Mid-America All-Indian Museum. It's a celebration of Wichita's native plants and pollinators hosted by Grassland Groupies. The Wichita African Union annual celebration is 5 p.m. Saturday at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. There's a chance to taste African food, a fashion show, Afrobeat music, and more. The Kansas Doll Show is 10 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday at the Doubletree Hotel. And Music Theater Wichita's Les Miserables runs Wednesday through the following Monday at Century 2 Concert Hall. The musical is based on the Victor Hugo novel. You can find details about these events and more by going to KMUW.org.
We'll be back after this.
Tomorrow on the Range, one man's quest to see every country in the world, plus a visit to the sunflower fields of the Sunflower State. So join us on the Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Farmers across the country are losing access to federal workers who help them with soil and water conservation efforts. The Natural Resources Conservation Service has been hit hard by the Trump administration's cuts to the federal workforce. Kansas lost 31% of its staff last year. Harvest Public Media's Abigail Botar reports on how that's impacting farmers.
On a hot summer day, John Williams is walking me through the vegetable farm he manages in central Illinois.
So all these white tubes coming up are tree tubes, so they're little protections for newly planted trees.
And the farm has a lot of new trees. Hazelnut, apple, and pear trees run in between the fields and around the farm's perimeter. The farm got funding to plant these trees through the Natural Resources Conservation Service, a federal agency under the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Williams says the trees will help protect the farm's soil from strong winds and heavy rains.
That'll help keep more of our soil on our land and less from running downhill.
NRCS staff in county offices across the nation help farmers like Williams implement practices that prevent soil erosion and improve soil health. The agency was founded almost a century ago in response to the Dust Bowl, but it lost nearly a quarter of its staff nationwide last year after President Donald Trump's sweeping cuts to the federal workforce. Adam Grebe grows corn and soy on his farm in central Minnesota. He was recently working on a project to prevent soil erosion, but then the NRCS staffer he was working with left the agency.
Well, I've ended up working with Stearns County, which isn't even an adjacent county office, and then also Carver County. And so I've gotten pushed to other offices.
Grebe says he was sometimes stuck driving an hour to a different county office where he felt like he was starting from square one with new NRCS workers.
You kind of get pushed back to the bottom of the pile when you lose your technician or engineer.
Just across the state line, Wisconsin saw some of the steepest cuts to NRCS staff in the Midwest, losing more than 30% of its workforce. Chuck Anderes is the policy director at Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, a Wisconsin nonprofit focused on sustainable agriculture. He says some highly agricultural counties are now without any NRCS staff at all.
A lot of beginning farmers and a lot of people that are transitioning to grazing for the first time really rely on the technical assistance that they get alongside the cost share money.
It's been feast or famine at the NRCS in recent years. The Biden administration poured more than $19 billion in additional funding for NRCS programs to address climate change. But those funds were rescinded by the Trump administration last year.
You have this demand, you have this proven benefit for farmers, and yet they're taking money away from it.
That's Michael Happ with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, a Minnesota-based nonprofit. He recently analyzed how these cuts are impacting the agency's flagship program. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program had a 38% decrease in grants awarded from 2024 to 2025. Happ says a growing number of farmers are competing for this dwindling funding.
It seems like conservation as an idea keeps getting more and more popular among farmers. We saw an increase in folks lining up at the door to apply for these programs at the same time that the number accepted went down.
Harvest Public Media reached out to the USDA for comment, but officials did not respond. Minnesota farmer Adam Grebe says his recent experience with NRCS won't stop him from applying for future projects. But he can see why other farmers would be more hesitant.
You know, we can only spend so much time doing some of these stewardship projects. And so if you don't have that good help from your offices, you really lose the passion to do the work.
And Grebe worries these cuts will damage conservation efforts for years to come. I'm Abigail Botar, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including KMUW. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.